Hello there, and welcome to episode number 9 of the Dial of Tech podcast, WWDC 2010. The Dial of Tech is going to be your weekly dose in the way of technology. Episodes will be featuring the weekly geeky goings-on of me, your host, Mark Prestash. Shows will generally focus on a couple of tech topics a week, including software, hardware, and everything tech-related, from the coolest geek toys to the best in podcast novels. Well, Apple's WWDC, or Worldwide Developers Conference, event started this Monday, June 7th, and Steve Jobs opened the conference by unveiling some iPad updates, an OS renaming, and, oh yeah, the iPhone 4. Steve Jobs was the opening day keynote speaker, and this podcast is going to be covering all of the announcements that Steve made. Some of them were new, some of them were things that we already were aware of, and of course, there was a one last thing this year. So we will get to all of those things in this week's episode of the Dial of Tech. The first thing that Steve talked about in the address was the iPad updates that are coming out. The first announcement was the addition of note-taking in iBooks. This allows the users to add notes to any page on the book, along with a new custom bookmark system. iBooks will show a list of bookmarks and related notes and a table of contents. Steve also noted that so far iBooks has sold over 5 million books to date. That's a lot of books for not that long a time out on the market. That's 5 million books in a little over 60 days. That's pretty impressive. Apple also announced they are adding PDF support to the iPad. They said that there's going to be a selector button on the upper left-hand side of the screen that now lets you open up a PDF. And what happens is, I guess, the PDF opens in a document in a new bookshelf. The bookshelf will be for PDFs only, so if you download a book in the PDF format, you'll now be able to open it and read it right on the iPad. There's a lot of people selling books that way now for, you know, 99 cents, and it's great to be able to get that book now in the PDF format and read it on the iPad. That was pretty much it for the announcements on the iPad. Nothing spectacular really coming from there. I mean, I think personally for me, for an ebook reader, I think that being able to take notes in the book that you're reading, I think, is important. I like the idea of bookmarking any page in the book for future review. So those are, I think, really good things, and those are things I think I would look for in a ebook reader or a book reading platform. Well, that pretty much is for the iPad updates. There really weren't a whole lot of updates coming out for the iPad, which I suppose isn't all that surprising considering it just came out, like I said, a little over 2 months ago. So I'm okay with that. The next thing that Apple started to show was the selected few new apps that are coming out that they really want to push. Steve invited a few people on stage at this particular point in time. There was Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix. There was Zynga CEO Mark Pincus, and the third person to come up on stage was somebody from the Guitar Hero franchise. So first up to the podium was Reed Hastings, who I said before was the CEO of Netflix. Reed announced that since the Netflix app was doing so well on the iPad, Netflix is making an app for the iPhone, which is going to be free to anybody who wants to use it. There was no mention specifically of iPod Touch support, but I'm thinking if it works for the iPhone, I'm pretty sure it's going to be working for the iPod Touch as well. I mean, it's essentially the exact same device, it's just the iPod Touch doesn't actually make phone calls. So I'm actually pretty jazzed about getting Netflix on the iPhone or on the iPod Touch. I've actually been quite jealous of people that actually have the Netflix app on their iPad, and I didn't have it on my iPod Touch. I think this is a great thing. I think it's going to be really fun to stream movies over Wi-Fi in the house or at work or on my lunch break or something like that. I think it's a great way to get through the stuff that's already in my Netflix queue that I just haven't had the time to get to. So I'm actually pretty jazzed about Netflix coming to the iPhone. Next up was the Zynga CEO, Mark Pincus. Zynga announced that Farmville will be coming to the iPhone. They said it was going to have push notifications, so I guess there's no excuse for dying crops anymore. And the last thing that they showed off was a $2.99 Guitar Hero game. I'm not really blown away by the Farmville or Guitar Hero apps. I just really don't care. I don't play Farmville, so that's really not that big a deal for me. And Guitar Hero, the same thing. I mean, I've got it at home. I don't really think I want to play it on my phone. I don't really play those types of games on my phone for some reason. So those two things didn't really impress me all that much. But like I said, the Netflix app, I think, sounds really cool. And I'm really looking forward to that coming out and really being able to watch more of my movies in more places. I think that's pretty cool. So to wrap up the app announcements, Steve Jobs just told everyone that recently that the App Store had its 5 billionth download. So that's a pretty impressive number, to say the least. I mean, 5 billion downloads. Billion downloads. Now, I'm sure that a good number of those are free apps, but even if it's 30 or 40% are paid, geez, even if it's 5% that's paid, that's still a pretty big number. So the Apple App Store is definitely doing really well for Apple. Definitely a moneymaker, definitely very popular. So I'm actually surprised they didn't show off more apps than just those three, but I guess there's no time will tell if things will come out. Now to the moment that everyone in the room, including myself, was waiting for. Oh wait, no, I wasn't actually in the room, obviously, but I was actually reading the GDGT live blog of the event. I actually kind of got goosebumps when I saw the slide, and it showed the iPhone 4, as they are calling it. The iPhone 4 is going to come in 16 and 32 gigabyte models. There's no more 8 gigabyte model anymore. I don't even know if they were making that for the 3GS, but a buddy of mine has an 8 gigabyte one, so I know at some point they were selling them. The design of the iPhone 4 pretty much looks exactly like the pictures that we saw on Gizmodo and from the Viet Dao website, where they were showing off the pictures of supposedly the iPhone 4. So it looks just like that. They've gotten rid of the curvature on the bottom of the phone, and it's really just a rectangle that's pretty darn thin. I think it's 9.3 millimeters, he says. That's pretty thin. And it's flat. So it's flat in the front and flat in the back. So there's no more of that iPhone or iPod Touch rocking, I suppose. That's the first and most noticeable thing about the new iPhone 4. At this point, Steve sort of rolled out a few charts, talking about the iPhone's market penetration being at about 28%. And then Steve kind of took a couple of jabs at Google, noting that the iPhones account for over three times as many phones as the Androids do in the marketplace. And he also goes on to say that 52% of the mobile browser usage is from an Apple product, and that's 2.5 times that of Google's Android. So I guess Steve is firing back at some of the remarks that Google made about Apple at Google's I/O conference a couple weeks ago. So, you know, right off the bat, when you're talking about the phone, Steve is coming out swinging. So you're kind of thinking, all right, this is interesting. I mean, he's really trying to, I don't want to say going on the defensive, but he's definitely letting Google know that he heard what they said, and he's responding to it in his way. So like I said, the new iPhone 4 is a little under 10 millimeters thick, coming in at 9.3, and Apple claims that's 25% thinner than the 3GS model of the iPhone. On the bottom of the phone is the mic power connector and a speaker. On the top is the sleep-wake button, a headset jack, and a second speaker. Apple has added a front-facing camera along with the back-facing camera. They've added micro SIM support, a 5-megapixel camera with a LED flash, headset, and now just to note, the second mic is used for noise cancellation. There's a metal band that surrounds the iPhone 4. And, you know, if you've seen the pictures, you've seen what I'm talking about, but if you haven't seen it, the front of the phone, it's a piece of glass, and then around the physical body on the sides of the phone is a stainless steel band that wraps around the entire phone. And Steve starts to talk about it, and apparently, you know, this steel band is part of the iPhone's physical structure as well as being used as part of the actual antenna system of the phone. Steve explained that the new iPhone has got integrated cameras built right into the structure of the phone itself. There's the GPS unit on one side, there's the antenna on another side, and it's all laid out pretty interestingly, and it's almost like the phone is using you as an antenna, is sort of the way I look at it. You know, it's if you've ever had like an old radio with one of those collapsible antennas, the reception is always best when you touch the antenna yourself, when the station's coming in kind of funny, because you're acting as an antenna for it. So I think that's sort of what Apple's doing here with this band thing around the phone. I think it's sort of using a little bit of human power to power the antenna on it. So on the top and the bottom of the phone is a piece of glass that encases the guts of the phone. I like the design of the old iPhone, I think, more than I like the design of the new iPhone. I don't hate it. It's just different, and I think I prefer the older look of the older phone. Now, again, I should mention, too, that the front and the back of the phone is covered with this piece of glass here. And I've seen a number of iPhones with broken screens. So I'm really curious to see if this new glass that they're putting in there is stronger than the stuff that they were putting on previous models, considering the fact that this glass is on the front and on the back of the phone. That's an awful lot of surface area that has the potential to break. All right, now the next thing that Steve talked about was what Apple is dubbing Retina Display, which they claim is a 4x increase in pixel density on the iPhone 4's screen over the 3GS. They claim it has something like 326 pixels per inch, which, according to Apple, is going to aid in navigation precision and overall viewing. Apple touts Retina Display's ability to display crisp and clean text. At this point, Steve pulled up a couple of screen captures, one showing text on a Retina display and one showing text on the 3GS screen. And I gotta say, the text looked way better on the Retina display on the iPhone 4 versus the 3GS. All the jaggies that you usually see in text were gone. So it definitely seems to make the text look better, at least from the images that they showed. So to go along with the new Retina display, the resolution of the overall screen has gone up to 960 by 640 pixels, which is, again, Apple says 4x more pixels than the 3GS has. Apple claims that it has an 800:1 contrast ratio, which again they say is a 4x increase over that of the iPhone 3GS. A couple of quick things I guess I want to bring up here is that contrast ratio is a notoriously winky science at best. Different manufacturers can use a different set of variables, and depending on which variables they use, you can get higher or lower contrast ratios. So, you know, contrast ratio is something I think you should take with a grain of salt. I do think that the screen resolution and the number of pixels per inch, I think, is definitely going to make this screen look a lot better than a lot of displays that are out there. It's not an OLED screen. It's not any other type. I think it's something custom that Apple made. I'm not 100% sure on what this display is. Now, I think a cool thing that they also mentioned about Retina Display is that it's going to be backward compatible. So developers are going to have the ability to create newer, richer text and graphics for the iPhone 4. And Retina Display is also going to scale up existing apps, icons, and etc. So basically anything that's running the iPhone 4 OS is going to get the benefit of the Retina Display, whether it's designed for it or not. I guess Steve really wants to keep that unified format, that unified look of the phone, and the fact that Retina Display upscales, I think, is just one of those little touches that Apple puts in that sort of sets it apart from other displays and from other products. They really sort of put that attention into there to really get to be the experience that they want you to have. I think in this case, I think it actually works. Because this podcast is a couple of days after WWDC opened up, I've been reading more about the Retina Display, and there have been some claims by professionals that Apple's claims about how close you need to be and what your eyes are going to see are not 100%. I guess I can't blame people for calling Apple out on bad math or sloppy math or whatever you want to call it, but I think the thing is that you need to see it, and when you see the difference between the screen with Retina Display on the iPhone 4 versus that same thing on a 3GS screen, and you notice a difference. So while I may find some fault with the math that they used, I think overall, though, my impression is that the Retina Display really is pretty cool, and it seems to really make a difference in what you're looking at. The guts of the iPhone 4 is going to center around the A4 processor, which is the same CPU that's running the iPad now. So it's the same thing you're going to get out of there, but in a smaller screen. I think I mentioned before they added a micro SIM slot. Now, they also added a larger battery to the new iPhone 4. And battery life is one of those things where it really matters on a phone. You know, you've, I'm sure by now, probably heard all the people talking about the new HTC Evo, which apparently only gets about halfway through the workday. It's about 4 hours, and it needs to be charged. And you really can't have that on a phone. So I think making the battery larger, I think, is a smart idea. They threw out some numbers. They said it's with the new battery, it's 7 hours of 3G talk time, 6 hours of browsing, 10 hours of Wi-Fi, 10 hours of video playback, 40 hours of music playback, and 300 hours of standby time. The longer claimed Wi-Fi life, I think, is a blessing. Personally, my iPod Touch goes about four and a half hours, maybe 5, max, before I have to actually throw on the charger over the course of a workday if I'm streaming content, you know, from like Pandora or from Slacker or something like that, and if I'm on Twitter or whatever. So it drains the battery. So 10 hours of Wi-Fi, I think, is really great. You know, the video playback, I think, is nice too. Battery life is one of those things where they test the battery life the way they want to test the battery life. So I would probably drop those times by 15-20%, maybe even more. So that 7 hours of talk time becomes, you know, 5.5, something like that, maybe a little more than 6. I think a bigger battery will help the iPhone. I don't know that I necessarily believe 100% the times that they're giving as far as how long the battery's actually going to last. Now, for the last part of the guts of the phone, the iPhone 4 is going to support quad band HSDPA and HSUPA technologies. Now, Steve didn't actually specifically mention this in his keynote speech, but one of the slides in the background also noted that the iPhone 4 is going to support the 802.11n wireless spec. So I think that's pretty cool, because again, if you're streaming Netflix to your phone, you're going to want to have an N router, and you're going to want to have a phone that will pick up that N speed. So I think that that's a pretty smart move on their part. I think that's a part where they could have flubbed it. They could have cheaped out and made a little bit more money putting in a not as good wireless support for the phone, but they didn't. They put the N in, so good for them. So then Steve introduces a new piece of hardware in the phone, which is going to be a digital gyroscope. Now, it's goofy because in the back of Steve on the big screen that he puts all his stuff on is a picture of an old school gyroscope that you'd pull a string with to get it going. So apparently what Apple decided to do was to add a digital gyroscope to the iPhone 4. So what they're saying is that you add the gyroscope with the accelerometer and the GPS, and this is going to give the iPhone 4 6 degrees of axis motion, and it's going to be able to sense in all 6 of those axes. So the speculation is that this is going to be really good for games, adding a whole new level of precision into your games. People are talking about the possibility of augmented reality apps, spatial location. I think it's cool until I see people actually develop stuff for it. I don't know that it's going to be anything really more than a gimmick for games. I mean, the games could be really fun, don't get me wrong, but I think that this is really something that is going to be used for applications other than games. And I think those are what the things that interest me the most, I should say, anyway. So those are the things I'm looking for to see where this gyroscope really gets used and how it gets used. I guess this sort of means the iPhone 4 is really going to know the difference between falling down and just general movement. You know, it's got that shock sensor in there, so it knows when it hits the ground. But with this new 6 degree of axis, it's going to know when it's falling, because it's going to know where it is relative to everything else. That's kind of cool. So after the gyroscope segment, Steve showed off the new camera on the iPhone 4. The new camera has a 5-megapixel sensor with a backside illuminated sensor for getting more light into the sensor overall. Apple essentially said, we didn't add in more megapixels because these kind of things, as far as phones and cameras go, is really going to be used in low-light situations. And they basically said that more megapixels is not going to make a better photo in a low-light situation. You know, allowing more light to get in is the key here. So that's why they stuck with the 5-megapixel camera as opposed to going up to something higher like the 8 in some of the Android phones. They also added a 5x digital zoom. They added this pretty cool looking tap to focus feature in there. It seems like it's going to work pretty cool from the pictures that I've seen and from what they showed off. And like I said, they threw in an LED flash as well. Apple was not done with the camera yet, though, as Steve Jobs announced the phone is now going to record HD video with 30 frames per second playback. So not only are you getting a new 5-megapixel camera with a nice big chip to suck in the light, you're going to be able to record HD video at 720p resolution. I know that video recording on cell phones is not anything new, but I think HD recording is pretty cool. And to top it off, if you didn't think that wasn't cool enough, how about the ability to edit the video that you just took directly from the phone itself? That's right, we're talking about video editing on the iPhone 4. Apparently, Apple was not just busy designing a new phone, they were also busy designing their app iMovie. iMovie is going to allow users to edit video right from the phone, adding music, transitions, and geotagging information. I think that's pretty damn cool, if I do say so myself. Just so you know, iMovie is going to be a paid app coming in at $4.99 in the App Store. Personally, I think Apple should give iMovie out for free, but that's just me. It's like, we're adding this really cool feature into the phone, but you have to buy this to really get all of the use and benefit out of it. It just sort of seems like, you know, they couldn't throw you that bone. They include so many other things on their MacBooks. I mean, you know, they include tons of free programs to use that are very well functioning. So to not throw this in there for free on the phone, I think is kind of chintzy on Apple's part. However, I think this is a spot where developers can come in and somebody could make a cheaper one or a free one, and I think it could do the same thing. The last thing I want to say about iMovie is that in the keynote, Steve said that you're going to be able to add music from your iPhone 4 to the video that you've recorded. They also said that you're going to be able to post this video on Facebook and on YouTube and to other media venues. I'm kind of curious to know what's going to happen when you're trying to send a movie that you just shot on your phone that you want to include music with that has DRM in it. So I'm kind of curious to know, is there going to be something that's like, hey, wait a second, this thing's got DRM, you can't use this track. So they didn't mention that. It's just something that sort of stuck in my head as I wonder what's going to happen when all that music that we bought that had DRM in it is now, you're going to try to use it. I mean, you know, publishing this thing on YouTube, you might get a takedown because you included music you shouldn't be sharing in that particular way or whatever. So I don't know, just something to think about. Something they didn't mention, I haven't really seen anyone else talk about it, so maybe it's just me that's thinking about it, no one else, so. Alright, so now after Steve showed off the camera, the movie taking, the movie editing, the next thing he brought up was kind of a puzzler to me. I'm not sure why Apple did this, but they're rebranding the iPhone 4 operating system to be iOS 4. They're dropping the iPhone nomenclature from the title. So it, you know, it used to be iPhone OS 3 or whatever the heck it was, you know. So they're dropping the iPhone part from the title. So moving on from the iMovie stuff and from the camera, Steve then went on to say that there are over 100 new features in iOS 4, and he highlighted one of the most anticipated, I think, which has got to be multitasking. Jobs showed off checking an email while Pandora was playing in the background. I gotta say, the multitasking was a bit anticlimactic. It was just, hey, you're listening to Pandora and you're checking your email. Okay, that's good. I guess there's some funky APIs behind the scenes that are allowing the switching to be going on and whatever else. So I think multitasking is definitely something that I've been looking forward to. I hate having to leave Pandora to go do other things. I want music to play while I do whatever the heck else it is I want to do at the same time. Besides what had been previously mentioned, iOS 4 also adds folders to the home screen. which they really weren't shown or discussed, so I'm not 100% sure what the folders are for, but I think it's something along the lines of you can put your apps into the folders, and that way put apps in certain folders for certain things, for productivity and for entertainment and for whatever else. And they also announced a unified email inbox that had threaded email a la Gmail. And I like threaded email, but I mean, I never really use the email app that comes on my iPod Touch, so to me this really isn't all that spectacular. iOS 4 is also going to be supporting multiple Exchange accounts. It's going to support Exchange Server 2010. Also, we'll have SSL and VPN support. Moving on from the multitasking and support portion of the discussion, Steve went on to say that iOS 4 also adds Microsoft Bing search engine to the search party on the phone. Now, this goes along with Google and the Yahoo searches that are already on there. Again, I don't think this is really anything spectacular. I mean, if you want to use Bing, you can just go to Bing.com on your browser and search from there. I don't think it's that big a deal to add Bing that he really needed to mention that in his address, but he did. He also announced at this point in time that Apple is bringing iBooks to the iPhone, so the iPad app is now coming over to the iPhone. The new version of iBooks is going to allow you to download and purchase a book to any of your supported devices. They made a big deal out of this being wireless, but, I mean, come on, guys, it's 2010. Wireless is not, like, magic anymore. I kind of had to laugh at that a couple times. Like, it's wirelessly. Ooh, it's in the ether, Steve. iBooks is also going to allow you to download the same book to all of your devices running the iBooks app at no extra charge. Again, they made a big point out of the fact that you can download this to all of your devices at no extra charge. And this is kind of one of those, well, screw you kind of moments. I mean, how generous of you to not make me pay twice to get content I've already bought on two different devices that I bought from you that have that same application. Gee, how nice of you. So, sometimes Apple can be a little disingenuous, I think, at times, or they just kind of irritate me at times. This is one of those times. To finish off on this iBooks portion, iBooks is now going to sync your place in the book as well between the devices, so any notes that you've taken, any of your bookmarks that you've made, those are going to sync across all of your devices that have the iBooks application installed. So I guess that's nice. It's like the Amazon Whisper Sync. I think adding iBooks to the App Store for the iPhone is a smart move. I think it's very similar to what they're doing with Netflix. It's so popular. I mean, they've sold so many books through this iBooks store in so little time. They would be fools to not put iBooks on the iPhone. It just doesn't make any sense to not do it. And, you know, they're doing the smart thing. That they're putting it on another device where they can make more money off it. So good for them. So after this little iOS for Bing update and the iBooks stuff, Steve moved on to talk about iAds, which is the new Apple advertising platform for iOS 4. I haven't seen this running, I just sort of saw the slides, so based on what Steve said, it sounds like the ads that are going to be running are going to be video ads that are inside your application. The idea is that you're going to be in your application, you're going to see the ad, you'll be able to click on the ad to get more information about the product. Steve showed off some Nissan ad for their new electric car, and, you know, he touched the ad, he went into the experience of the ad. There was a game, there was pictures, there was video. Apple's going to be hosting and selling the ads. It sounds like the advertisers are going to get to pick where their ads are seen, so they want to pick this app for whatever, so I guess it's a marketing thing for them, they can pick and choose. I gotta say, I'm less than thrilled about iAds. I don't like advertising in general, but I really don't care or want, as Apple puts it, interactive, emotional video ads in my applications. I prefer the banner ads. Those are fine. They're there. You know, I don't pay attention to them. It's harder to not pay attention to a video ad, and I think people know that, and I think that they're marketing to that. I also don't like this because, I mean, think about this. If you're on the 200 megabyte plan for your data through AT&T, so clicking an ad is going to go against your data cap. Why would I click an ad inside an app to take me out of the app that I actually really want to use for something, and then use my data to look at an ad. It just doesn't seem like a smart idea. I think if Apple could have done it, or if they were smart, or if they pushed hard enough, maybe they could have gotten AT&T to waive the data usage for viewing ads and sort of gotten a kickback of some sort, part of the revenue, and whether it be from CPM or whatever, I don't know. I just think that getting people to click on ads needs to be more compelling than their emotional ads. Give me something I can really, you know, I can use. It's, you know, click on the ad and it doesn't go against your data, and you know, that's how you get people to click on things that are advertisements, is you have to entice them a little bit more than I think emotional advertising can do. We'll have to see how iAds goes. I'm not really looking forward to it, so. And now we come to it, folks. We finally get the one last thing. One last thing this year turns out to be video chat on the iPhone 4. Apple has dubbed the video chat feature FaceTime, and it uses the cameras. I'm not sure if I mentioned, there's two cameras on the iPhone 4. There's a front-facing camera, and there's a back-facing camera. You can connect to another person who also has an iPhone 4, so it's only iPhone 4 to iPhone 4, and it can only be used over Wi-Fi right now. Assuming you meet the criteria of being in a good Wi-Fi spot and knowing someone else that has the iPhone 4, you can use FaceTime. It's going to work in portrait or landscape mode. Like most video chat clients out there, there's a main window with your callee's face there, and there's the smaller window in the upper corner with your face. Apple's saying that they want to make FaceTime an open industry standard. There really wasn't any mention of how they were going to do that, but I guess they're trying to push this out there to be used on more devices. I mean, and again, I see what they're doing. They're trying to get their hooks and other things in other places. I get it. I don't know whether I'm excited or if I'm not all that blown away by FaceTime. I mean, it looks cool. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's video chat. That's kind of cool. I don't think I would want to use it on every phone call I get or every phone call I make, but I think it could be pretty cool to have. I think part of the place where this might not go so well is that if you have to hold your phone at some awkwardly weird angle to get your face in the picture so that your friend can see it, that might be kind of annoying. It's just awkward. I don't know if they're going to start selling iPhone 4 stands for video calling. I think the limitation of Wi-Fi, I understand it, but I think it's a flaw in the product right now. And Apple said for now, it's only over Wi-Fi. Things can take a long time to get updated on the iPhone platform. I mean, getting text messaging took forever. The fact that they say it will at some point in time not be Wi-Fi only doesn't really encourage me all that much. I understand it would be a tremendous strain on AT&T's network, which is already strained as it is, but I think it's one of those things where it's sort of, I don't want to say it's half-assed, but I mean, it's something between half-assed and half-baked. Take your pick as to where exactly it is in the order there. And I think that the exclusion of other video clients as being restricted, and by that I'm saying, you know, Apple said that this is iPhone 4 to iPhone 4. Well, guess what, guys? There are actually other programs out there that do video chat. Gasp! So limiting it to iPhone 4 users, I think it didn't really sit all that well with me. It sort of, I think, pushes along that no outsiders mentality that Apple can have. It's that they don't want you going outside their system. And it's one of those things where, like I said before about the iPad, I just think it's too closed. I want to be able to hack it. Yes, I know that you can hack it, but I think some of the functionality should be out of the box and you shouldn't have to hack it. So I guess what I'm saying is you should be able to call Skype. Skype has video chat. Why can't you call Skype from your iPhone 4 over Wi-Fi? You're not using AT&T's network, so who cares? So again, FaceTime, it's cool. I like the idea. I think that there are some things about it that are kind of, you know, I'm not sold on it 100%. So again, we'll have to wait and see how FaceTime on the iPhone 4 works out. So the last pieces of information that you're all going to want to know about the iPhone 4, I think I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. It's coming in 16 and 32 gigabyte models. They're going to be priced at $199 and $299 respectively. They actually go on sale in stores on June 24th. Pre-orders begin on June 15th. AT&T has come out and said that anybody that has a contract expiring in 2010 will be eligible to get the phone at the $199 and the $299 prices, which are the prices that come with a new two-year contract. If your plan ends in 2011, then you're hosed. I think the full price is like $500. The iPhone 4 is going to come in two colors. It's going to come in black. It's going to come in white. In the beginning, Apple is going to be launching the iPhone in five countries, the US, France, Germany, UK, and Japan. They're going to be rolling out the iOS 4 upgrade for the iPhone 3GS, the 3G, and the iPod Touch for free on June 21st, so watch your devices on that day. I'm going to put a note on my calendar. Steve Jobs did note that not all of the iOS 4 features are going to work on the older models, and he specifically mentioned the iPhone 3G. Apple's really in that planned obsolescence mode right now, where they're just getting rid of the 3G, and that's it. No mas. You can probably still use it, but it's not going to have anything, it sounds like anyway, that you're really going to care about too much. My overall impression is that the iPhone 4 is going to continue Apple's tradition of innovation and continued popularity. I can guarantee you that people are going to be copying the crap out of the iPhone 4 in the next 3 to 4 months. As soon as they can get something out to show, that, oh, look what we're doing too, we're doing that too. So we're going to see a lot of new clones coming out real soon. And, you know, the iPhone 4 looks way different than the iPhone 3GS, so a lot of the styling, I think, is going to start changing on phones to more match what the iPhone 4 does, which I'm not sure that I'm, again, thrilled with. Overall, I don't think I was blown away by WWDC 2010. I think the things that I thought were the coolest was the Retina display. Anything that makes the text look better, I think, is a good thing. I'm happy about multitasking. It's something I think that the phone and the iPod Touch have desperately needed. I think why I'm less enthusiastic about multitasking, though, is I think it's something that should have been there a couple years ago, right out of the gate. So it's one of those things where it's like, finally, you're getting it. Who cares they added Bing? Big deal. The camera is impressive. It's a 5-megapixel camera. It takes HD video. It plays back at 30 frames per second. You can upload to your favorite video sharing sites right from the phone. I think that's pretty cool. I think people are going to be using that over Wi-Fi more than their data plan, though, for uploading the video for obvious, again, reasons with AT&T changing the data plans. The bigger battery, I think, is nice. The A4 processor, I think, will be nice. Again, there's nothing there that really blows me away. I come away impressed. I do. But I just wasn't, like, blown away like I had kind of hoped to have been. People are saying this is more evolutionary than revolutionary, and originally I didn't think that was the case, but now that I'm looking back on it with a couple more days, I think they're right. I think the iPhone 4, while cool, while it offers a lot of interesting new features, it's something that is definitely going to be lust-worthy, no doubt about that. I do agree. I think that this is an evolutionary step in the phone, not a revolutionary step. I guess that's the overall impression of iPhone 4 at WWDC 2010. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Dow of Tech. Thank you for listening. The intro music is Schrodinger's Cat Paradox by C-Jax. The outro music is Anhelos, the remastered version by Leechmaster. Both tracks are available for download at podsafeaudio.com. If you can't get enough of me or the Dow of Tech, you can also follow me on Twitter. I'm twitter.com/markprestash. That's MarkPrestash. You know, and hey, do me a favor. If you're a Dow of Tech listener and you follow me on Twitter, send me an at reply. Say hello. Let me know that you listen to the Dow of Tech and your thoughts on it. I would love to hear from you. Maybe suggest a topic for the show. Let me know what I'm doing right. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. I would really appreciate that from you guys. If you don't want to talk to me in 140 characters or less, you can contact me the old-fashioned way and send me an email at dowspotting@gmail.com. That's TAOSPOTTING. @gmail.com. No promo this week, but I'll tease you with next week's show. Since Father's Day is coming up and I'm a father, we're going to do a show on some inexpensive gifts that you can get the father in your life that are pretty cool and will be awful handy as well. So definitely stay tuned to episode 10 of the Dow of Tech. We'll be talking about cheap tech products. That's the show for the week. I hope you all enjoyed it. So until next week, I'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye now.